Hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church, and I am really glad that you are joining us today for the broadcast. And today I want to talk to you about a subject that I think every single one of us at one time or another can relate to. And that is asking this question, right? Beginning with this question, have your dreams ever turned to disaster? Have you ever attempted something and you had this big vision, this big dream to do it, and then it didn't turn out the way that you expected it to turn out? And matter of fact, it turned out into a disaster. Have you ever experienced that gut-wrenching moment when your dream becomes a nightmare and you find yourself just staring at a roll? You discover that life didn't turn out the way you thought it was, the plans that you had, the dreams that you had, and all of a sudden you're asking yourself, why? Now in the depths of our heart, we know that God is too kind to do anything cruel, and He's too wise to make a mistake, and He is too deep to have to explain Himself. But sometimes we are searching for why something went so wrong. In 2 Chronicles 15:7, it says, "But as for you, be strong and don't give up, for your work will be rewarded by the Lord." Last night in our small group meeting, we have been studying the book of Hebrews. And we looked at Hebrews chapter 12. And I love Hebrews chapter 12. And I told our group last night, I said, you know, Hebrews chapter 12 comes right after Hebrews chapter 11. I know they knew that, and I know you know that. And I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but in order to understand Hebrews chapter 12, you got to understand Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great faith chapter, and it talks about faith having substance. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As we go out throughout the whole chapter 11, we discover that there's heroes of the faith who God has delivered because of their faith. But then you get about two-thirds of the way through chapter 11, and you discover there's some who are not delivered by faith, those who died for their faith. They're called the martyrs of their faith. They're the ones that were beheaded, cut in two with a sword, those who had the spear drawn through them, those who had been burned at the stake. And as we conclude Hebrews chapter 11, it ends really with a question. And the question is, why in the world did this happen to them? And then the question is answered. It says, of whom this world was not worthy of. In other words, these individuals even had more faith than those at the beginning of chapter 11 because their faith took them to their grave. In other words, as they were looking at their lives, they were so focused on fulfilling the mission that God had for them. They were so filled with faith, the world did not deserve that level of faith. The world could not accommodate and understand that level of faith. And they were so close to Christ. Jesus said, well, why don't you just come on home and be with me? Because the world doesn't deserve you anyway. You think about the story of Joseph, and I love the story of Joseph. Joseph is one of the few men in the Bible that nothing negative is recorded about his life. Joseph was a man who did right, and he may have been a little bit naive in his life, but he did right, and he was constantly being ridiculed. He was constantly being betrayed. He was sold into slavery. He was left dead in a pit. And even when he did the right thing, people forgot about him. He was accused of committing adultery when he was running from adultery. He interpreted dreams of those who were incarcerated with him, and yet those who were incarcerated with him very soon forgot about the dreams that he interpreted. It seems like Joseph's dreams turned into disaster. But God had a plan. You see, God wanted to use Joseph in a powerful way to bring freedom to those who resided in Egypt. And not only for the Egyptians, but also for the Hebrews. God was going to bring about victory using Joseph. Now, most of us would not have liked the way that God got Joseph to Egypt, but God had a plan. And the same is true in the matters of disaster. When you think about dashed dreams, oftentimes they appear to be random. What I'd like to do today is look at Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, I'd like to look at this story through the eyes of not the Joseph of the Old Testament, but Joseph in the New Testament. And we look at his life, and it appears that the dreams that he had were dashed. And that dashing of those dreams appeared to be very random. We pick it up in Matthew 1:18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about, and his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph." Now right there is a plan. Right there is a dream. Mary is pledged to be married to Joseph, and if you are old enough to remember when you were engaged to your spouse, you had a lot of dreams. You had a lot of plans. Matter of fact, when my wife and I were engaged, I wasn't a very spiritual individual back then, but I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I am so looking forward to getting married. And I said, Lord, I'm afraid that the rapture is going to take place before I get married. And so I said, Lord, if you could just hold off on coming back to get us until after I get married, I certainly would appreciate that. And as you think about a dashed dream, you think about Mary and Joseph. It says, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. You know, I want you to know the disaster can happen at a time of great expectation. They were expecting to get married, but then disaster took place. Disaster can happen at a time of great excitement. They were looking forward to this wedding, but all of a sudden they have news of a baby that is coming. Disaster can create a time of great embarrassment. Wait a minute, a baby before you are married? Now, in today's day and age, that's not uncommon. As a matter of fact, I was reading not too long ago that approximately 40% of all children born today are born out of wedlock. But in the time that Jesus was born, having a child out of wedlock was scandalous. As a matter of fact, it was so scandalous that Mary could have been stoned to death. Joseph also could have been stoned to death. You know, when you think about shattered dreams, it may be hard to understand, but even in shattered dreams, God is still at work. You see, the Bible is abundantly clear on this matter. Our God works his way and his will in our lives, and these ways are sometimes worked out in a way that we can't even comprehend. His plans for us are rarely the same plans that we have. As you look at the story of Job, for example, his plans were always different than God's plan. Job was hurt deeply because of what he suffered, but God had a bigger plan behind what he was doing. As a matter of fact, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I don't read ordinarily a fairly large portion of the scripture. It's not super long, but I think it kind of brings it into perspective. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12, and then we'll go at 16 to 18. But we have these treasures in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be in us. Now, let's stop right there. This treasure we have is in earthly vessels. Earthly vessels break down. But even in the midst of a broken down earthly vessel, there's the power of God that is within us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. I love verse 12. You have probably heard this verse 12 quoted or read at a funeral. So death is working life in you. Therefore, don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And then Paul says, for our light in our momentary affliction is working in us something that is exceedingly of great worth, eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but are things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And now that kind of puts it all in perspective, doesn't it? Realizing we are hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. In other words, the pressure that is within us is greater than the pressure that is pushing on the outside of us. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair because we understand ultimately God is in control. We are persecuted but not forsaken because even in the midst of our persecution, Christ is with us. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. In other words, you can't keep a good man down no matter how many times you try to knock him down. The Bible says a righteous man falls down seven times, but he gets right back up. As you think about dashed dreams, they do often appear random, but dashed dreams are also revealing. What does a dashed dream reveal? Well, in verse 19 of Matthew 1, we see that Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. He was a just man, and he didn't want to expose Mary to a public disgrace, so he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, isn't it amazing as you think about Joseph? He has this event where he discovers that the wife that he's about to get married to is going to have a baby. He knows one thing, he is not the father, and he knows that perhaps, somehow, Mary has been unfaithful. His dreams have been dashed, but his character comes forth. He's a just man, didn't want to embarrass her, so he says, I'll divorce her quietly. When you think about these dreams that become dashed, they reveal certain things about us. They reveal, number one, the depth of our character. You see, the time when life goes wrong from our perspective is a time when we can see our true selves. That is where we really see what we're made of. During the difficult times, we see ourselves. Look what it says in Job 1:8. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is nobody on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God, and he shuns evil. That was the character of Job. You see, anybody can rejoice when life is going good, but it takes a consecrated life to shout with joy when life falls apart and is dashed to pieces. Job responded like a champ because his true character was one who feared God and shunned evil. So when pressure comes upon us, when our dreams are dashed, it reveals the depth of our character. Number two, it reveals the wisdom of my choices. And now Joseph could have humiliated Mary because of what he perceives to be her immorality. This choice could possibly have led to her death under the law in Deuteronomy chapter 22. He can divorce her quietly, just walk away from her, leaving her to raise the child in shame and in poverty. He can marry her and raise the child as if he were his own. That last option would rarely have been chosen by a Jewish man. To Joseph, none of these choices seemed appealing, but he had to choose one of them. You know, often life presents us with choices that are less than appealing to our human nature. Our duty in these times is to listen to the voice of God and to seek to do the one thing that He wants us to do in our situation. As we think about dashed dreams, they not only reveal our character and the depth of our character, they also reveal the wisdom of our choices. And thirdly, we see they also focus my compassion. When the pressure is on, what are you focused on? It says a lot about Joseph. As I've already said, he responds in this time of crisis, and he has his depth in his walk with God. You see, how we respond to those who have hurt us is also an indicator of our spiritual walk. If we can learn anything from the example of Joseph, it is that we should never let the hurt of others inflict us to cause us to retaliate in an effort to hurt them in return. We need to deal with those around us who hurt us with compassion. In fact, Jesus told us to go further than that. He said that we are to forgive those who offend us without reservation. This is also the command from the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, where he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God, forgave you. You see, the choices I make when I don't get what I want reveals the depth of my character. The way I treat those who have hurt me reveals the depth of my walk with Jesus. Here's something else I've learned about dashed dreams. They don't have to be final, and they don't have to be fatal. Getting back to Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Well, what am I supposed to do when my dreams are dashed? I want to remind you of just a couple of things that I think will really help you, because you can't go through life without having your hope dashed from time to time. So first of all, I think that we must remember that God is still present in my life. Our vantage point works against us. I have often described the way we look at life as watching a parade go by while standing between two buildings. All that we're able to see of the parade is that portion that is passing directly in front of us at that particular moment. You have a memory of what has already passed, but you have no idea of what is coming down the street. You just have to wait until it gets to you. However, if you were to climb on top of that building, you would be able to see the parade in its entirety. You could see the beginning, the middle, and the end at the same time. There would be no surprises. I want you to know that God is present in your life. He is looking down from above. He sees the past, the present, and the future of your life. There's no surprises in your life from God's perspective. Here's the second thing to remember when your dreams are dashed. Not only is God still present, but God is still providing for my needs. Joseph is given details of a miracle that much of the world still hasn't grasped. That God was going to enter into this world through the womb of a Jewish girl who was a virgin. Joseph is told that Mary will have a son, and that this son is to be named Jesus, and he is also told that this son is going to be the Savior of the Jews. That is quite a revelation. In a nutshell, Joseph is made aware that this child is no ordinary baby. He is, in fact, the Son of God. His name will reflect that because the name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. His life will reflect this because he will be responsible for the salvation of the lost. He will accomplish this through his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and his ascension back into heaven. Surely Joseph doesn't know all the details about this miracle child. He doesn't know all that's going to happen in the future, but he knows enough to be sure that this child is a divine provision. And this child is provided for the sins of the world. Now note this. We may never forget that it is from the wreckage of our greatest hurts that God often builds us up with a greater blessing. You see, just because the way is dark, do not stop holding on to the hand of God. He may lead you through some desolate places, but he will never forsake you. Not in any of those places. In Psalm 23:4, it says, wherever his path leads, you can count on his provision to be sufficient for the need of the hour. Oh, when your dreams are dashed, my friends, remember that God is still present in your life. Remember that he is still providing for your needs. And thirdly, remember he's still proclaiming his will to you. Joseph is shown that the child Mary is carrying in her womb is none other than the deliverer, whom the world has waited on since man sinned in the Garden of Eden way back in Genesis chapter number 3. This baby is to be the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. He is to be the fulfillment of the law. Jesus himself says, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. His will be done. His flesh is a type of the Old Testament, and here we see it is also a fulfillment of prophecy. We see that God is proclaiming his will through his son, Jesus. And Joseph is allowed to see all of this through his hurt, all of this through his anger and his confusion, and he's able to bring about and be part of bringing about the greatest miracle the world has ever known, God becoming flesh and entering the world to die as a man. John 1:1-14 puts it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that is, took up residence among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. And I love this last little phrase, full of grace and truth. You see, dashed dreams may appear to be random. They reveal our character. They don't have to be final. And finally, they can become growing moments. That's right. Those moments when your dreams are dashed are often the greatest teaching moments that we experience in life. Matthew 1:24 says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here's some things I see about a growing moment with Joseph. Joseph reacted in faith, and he reacted quickly in faith. Now, as soon as Joseph understands what is happening, as soon as he understands what is happening in his life, he reacts. He goes and he takes Mary into his home, and he has her as his wife. He is responding out of pure faith. He doesn't know how things are going to work out, but he knows that God is working, and that is enough for Joseph. Joseph's decision must have shocked that whole community. Everyone probably assumed that Joseph and Mary had not been able to wait for the wedding. He was willing to bear the shame of Mary's pregnancy because he knew it was a work of God. Here's a note. True faith does not shrink from the call of God just because others do not understand. True faith hears the voice of the Lord and simply does it as is told. You know, as soon as you hear Jesus say, it's time to move. When God speaks, it's not time to debate or delay. It's time to move. And Joseph moved quickly. Joseph also responded without qualification. No hidden sin can be tolerated in the name of Jesus. Joseph may have taken Mary into his home, but he refrains from having sexual relations with her. He respects the plan of God, and he knows that she is to be a virgin when Jesus is born. This, too, is a response of faith. Instead of demanding what was rightfully his as her husband, he willingly lays aside his rights so that the will of God might be accomplished. Now, notice this. True faith willingly puts aside its own desires, willingly sets aside its own desires for the will of God. Often, God's call on our lives will be hard to accept and hard to do, but faith doesn't seek the easier road. Faith knows that God has already surveyed the way, and he knows where he wants us to go. Faith says, here am I, send me. What is the third response that we see in Joseph? We see he responded quickly without qualification, and he resolved to obey quietly and completely. Here's what we know about Joseph. He had his life all planned out. Mary and he were to be married, and they were going to do life together for many years. They were going to have lots of kids, and they were going to be really happy. Then he found out that she was pregnant. He knew the baby wasn't his, but he did not know whose it was. He was hurt. All of his plans and all of his dreams were shattered. But then the Lord showed him that he had a better plan for his life. He called Joseph to be the surrogate human father of the Messiah. What he thought was a great tragedy was, in fact, the greatest blessing of his life. Here's a note. If you don't get anything else out of the message today, please get this. What you think is the worst thing that has ever happened to you will often turn out to be your greatest blessing. I think the difference between these two experiences is that God takes tragedies into our lives and he turns them around into good things through a simple act of faith. Some people will simply not trust God for anything, and as a result, they're always defeated and never able to rise above their circumstances. Others do trust him, knowing that he knows best. These are the people who experience his best, even in the most difficult moments of life imaginable. Well, here's the conclusion. Have you ever had a dream turned into a nightmare before your very eyes? We all have at one time or another. Most of us will face this again before life is through with us. I just want to ask you a question. When your dreams turn into nightmares, what are you doing about it? Some people try to fix them themselves. Well, friend, that's not going to work. You'll only make it worse. Some people just quit. That won't work either. Because whether you participate or not, life goes on, even after you quit. Still others become angry and they follow man instead of God and they try to make others pay for their own hurts. Now that attitude is no good at all. The only way for us to really get through hurts in life is for us to say to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand why this has happened to me. I never wanted this, but it has happened nonetheless. I am here before you now to ask you for your help. Even though I cannot see it, I know that you have something better for me than I had planned for myself. Please give me grace to believe it and faith to see it. These are the people who walk in victory, even in the midst of the very worst of nightmares. You see, disasters are going to come into your life. You can't get around it. You can't get through life without somebody hurting you. I find it's often the people that are closest to me that hurt me the most. But I've also discovered it's the people that are closest to me that also bless me the most. I want you to know that whatever comes in your life, God has a purpose for it. There's a plan for it. It may be a painful process, but keep trusting Him. He'll get you through on the other side. Thank you, Lord, for this message of hope through the life of Joseph.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.